What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. The history the government hopes you never learn. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And welcome to our show today. It is Wednesday, April 21st, 2021, middle of the weekday, hump day, starting that long, slow glide down to Pow Hana Friday, and whatever craziness is going to happen for the rest of the week or the rest of the month or the rest of the year. It does seem like just the further along we go, the weirder things are getting. And I guess a good place to start off on that topic is, yes, it did snow here in Indiana last night. Santa Claus is over in southwestern Indiana, and we're not talking about a little dusting. We got about an inch and a half, and I posted a photo of it to the main page of whatreallyhappened.com, and it was the main topic of conversation around the town today. Nobody could remember any time that we got snow this late in the year, so gosh darn that human-caused global warming. It struck again, and hopefully has not caused a lot of damage to the crops that are coming up. Getting on back to the Derek Chauvin trial, I think the universal condemnation of the way this trial was handled and how it seemed subordinate to the politics continues. There's a story coming on out of UNS.com, and it's titled, appropriately enough, "The Lynch Mob Howled," and that's exactly what it was. The jury deliberated about 10 hours total to reach a unanimous decision of guilty on all three counts. And this article is saying that no jury would have found Chauvin innocent after nearly a year of riots. And that was apparently what was driving things right now. And this is not the way it's supposed to work. I mean, at this point, Chauvin's guilt or innocence almost became irrelevant to the political driving toward a guilty conviction. And that's not the way it's supposed to work. Justice is supposed to be blind. It most assuredly was not in this case. Another article on the same topic from Powerline Blog calling it "Mob Rule in Minnesota," and talking about, all the pressure that was being put on the jurors and the lawyers and everything. Hennepin County Attorney Mike Freeman sold his Minneapolis home at a loss and moved out of the city because of the protesters besieging his house. And his office received millions of emails and thousands of phone calls basically demanding the pound of flesh, which everybody got just yesterday. Paul Craig Roberts, writing over at USA Watchdog, is saying they convicted an innocent man. I am not entirely sure that is true, but the point is we don't know and we can't know because of the way the politics overwhelmed the process. And Paul Craig Roberts is saying this was essentially a show trial. Chauvin did not have a fair trial, no argument there. The media convicted Chauvin, and the jury was too afraid to stand on the evidence, and that was the story of the trial. And by the way, something that occurred to me, George Floyd died just one time, and yet Chauvin has been convicted of three different murders, second and third degree murder and second degree manslaughter. It almost seems like double jeopardy that if he's convicted on one, the others should be null and void. But that's not the way it came down. They just piled on and piled on. And now they're talking about the judge could sentence him basically to jail for the rest of his life. And there's another story, this one coming out of Blabber Buzz, asking a legitimate question. Was the jury's fear of violence a factor in the Chauvin, being convicted on all counts? Because he was convicted again on two murder charges and one manslaughter charge for one death. And they deliberated a total of 10 hours, and that was basically it. We had the comments coming from Maxine Waters. We had the comments coming from Black Lives Matter. We had Joe Biden commenting, saying that he wanted a guilty verdict. And That's not the way these things are supposed to work. Certainly with all the publicity and politics and media attention, the jury should have been sequestered, and they were not, which means they heard everything that was going on. They probably heard what Maxine Waters was saying. They were hearing what Black Lives Matter was saying. It could not help but have had an effect on their deliberative process. The Minneapolis Star Tribune, it turns out, published the biographical information on the jurors. They're taking a serious amount of criticism for that because they released the biographical data on all 12 jurors plus the two alternates in the Derek Chauvin trial. Now, the Star Tribune did not actually name the jurors, but reporters Paul Walsh and Hannah Sale on Tuesday published enough details about their lives where internet sleuths and local snoops could figure out who they were, and it's another way of putting pressure on the jury to come to a desired outcome. And as I said, I am not sure what, if anything, Derek Chauvin was guilty of, but he definitely deserves a new trial that is free from this kind of outside pressure and interference. A story coming on out of Russia today saying that Maxine Waters' comments about the trial of Derek Chauvin could badly backfire. The incendiary warnings build a case for an appeal. Waters' inflammatory and legally dodgy comments on the case could end up not only sparking violence, it could undermine her own desires when it comes to the killing of George Floyd. A lot of people were very, very angry with what she said. She's now trying to backtrack and say that by being confrontational, she meant in a nonviolent way, which is kind of a weird statement to make there. Alan Dershowitz basically said that Derek Chauvin's conviction could and should be reversed on appeal because of the public intimidation of the jury and the judge's refusal to sequester them. And absolutely agreement on that. Dershowitz is saying that we must assume that the jury heard what Maxine Waters said, and the judgment could well be reversed. And I'm in agreement. I think there should be a new trial. It should be in a different venue where everybody's not being fired up by the lynch mob, which is, I think, a good name to describe all of them. Meanwhile, all of this hue and cry by Black Lives Matter has succeeded in bringing back a little bit of damage to the organization. They managed to raise $90 million for their campaign against Derek Chauvin, but it also revealed Black Lives Matter's ties to a convicted terrorist and the Marxist founder's property empire claims of fraud. So it's beginning to look like Black Lives Matter may have hoisted with their own petard. Now, after Chauvin, Minnesota is set to prosecute three other officers in George Floyd's death. And this is going to basically go to trial in August, saying that they aided and abetted second-degree murder and second-degree manslaughter of Floyd. They could look at 40 years in prison. These three officers are currently free on $750,000 bail. And it's a lynch mob. It's a witch hunt, whatever you want to call it. They can't get a fair trial with this kind of politics going on. And, you know, a lot of people were saying, well, you know, Black Lives Matter got the verdicts they wanted. They should calm down and go home. It did not happen. Black Lives Matter demonstrators blocked the streets in Minneapolis, and they attacked a tractor trailer trying to drive his route. They accosted the truck driver. They took over the streets, and you know, the video, the driver blared his horn to try and get the protesters out of his way. The crowd blocked his way and began shouting at the driver and beating on the truck. Out in Portland, Black Lives Matter protesters went on a destructive rampage after the Chauvin verdict. They took to the streets after rallying out front of the ironically named Justice Center. They went on a short march and smashed out a couple of Starbucks shop windows. So, see, it really didn't make any difference what verdict they came back with. Black Lives Matter wanted to riot. They were just looking for an excuse. They're calling them victory riots. And I notice that the corporate media is not giving a lot of coverage to this activity because it does send the message that no matter what you do for Black Lives Matter, it will not make them happy. They're still going to riot and cause property damage. Out in Los Angeles, Black Lives Matter directed their allies to Mayor Garcetti's home after the verdict, and they gathered outside his home and caused a bit of a ruckus there as well. Former President Barack Obama and former First Lady Michelle Obama reacted to the guilty verdict announced, and they said the jury did the right thing, but said full justice had yet to be achieved. And they said true justice is much more than a single verdict in a single trial. We're hearing all kinds of stuff like this from the politicians. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez said there is no justice in this trial. Justice would be George Floyd going home to his family. I agree that would be nice. It is simply impractical. And they're still trying to push this idea that the police are bad, that white people are bad, that blacks are victims. Even as Black Lives Matter tears up more and more cities. A Minneapolis city council candidate has publicly encouraged Black Lives Matter rioters who feel like burning stuff down and suggested they target the wealthy communities instead of the poor ones. And police are now investigating the candidate for making a credible threat. Again, in Minneapolis... far left extremist, Gonzo journalist and filmmaker Amy Horowitz interviewed several people who were attending the memorial to get their take on things like burning the city down and using violence against white people. And one of the people said, I don't want to say we need to start killing all white folks, but maybe they need to feel the pain and hurt. So they're still trying to fan up a race riot out of this, even though they got the verdicts they said they wanted to have. So it's really insane. And again, Black Lives Matter militants in Minneapolis, they're going off the rails. There was a speech made by a Black Lives Matter militant declaring they're going to burn the city down if they don't get the change they are demanding. Now, exactly what that change is, you know, appears to be the usual. They want all the wealth taken away from white people and given to the black people. And up in New York, Black Lives Matter militants were invading outdoor restaurant areas, telling the white diners to get the blank out of New York and declaring that white-owned restaurants are not welcome. And the far-left extremists are protesting in multiple cities across the nation, even though they got the verdict that they wanted in the Derek Chauvin trial. Just no making those people happy. So why should we even try? You're going to love this next one. An angry Black Lives Matter mob gathered outside Columbus, Ohio police headquarters after an officer-involved shooting death of 15-year-old Makaya Bryant. And this happened almost at the same time the Derek Chauvin verdict was coming out yesterday. Bryant's mother described her as a very loving, peaceful little girl and had a motherly nature about her, and the protesters are out there screaming about it. The only problem is that the body cam video of the police shows that this Bryant girl, 16 years old, was attempting to stab a woman when she was shot by the police. And she was not shot and killed just for being black, as people on social media keep claiming. Meanwhile, you know those squad members that are out there pushing to defund the police, bad police, no police? They spend thousands of dollars on private security. They want protection. They just don't want you to have it. They don't want you to have police departments. They don't want you to have your guns. They want to turn this entire country into an open-air, free-for-all crime zone. And they think in the name of reparations, I guess, that's what they're thinking here, that, you know, it's time for the blacks to simply take everything that they want. All right, getting into other politics here, down in Maricopa County, Arizona, they're getting ready to start that audit of the 2020 election results. The Democrats are in an absolute total panic, and a lot of attention is being focused on Arizona because when Biden and Kamala Harris came to Phoenix less than a month before the election, almost nobody showed up. And then all of a sudden, Biden and Harris were claimed to have won Arizona. So apparently billionaire George Soros and Clinton nonprofit Empire Dollars are pouring into the effort to try and stop the Senate audit of Maricopa County. They don't want to support election integrity. They're acting like they've got something to hide. They're pouring a lot of money in to support Arizona's Secretary of State, who's a Democrat, Katie Hobbs, who is out there trying to find some way to prevent the audit from taking place. And at this point, I would not be surprised if the warehouse holding all the ballots were to burn down. Oh, my goodness, what a terrible, tragic accident that was. Golly gee whiz, now we cannot have the audit. Over at the Anti-Defamation League, they're pushing the World Federation of Advertisers to boycott Tucker Carlson and Fox News, claiming that he is putting out hate speech and supporting white supremacy. And they're trying to silence him as well. All righty, let's talk a little bit about COVID. There's a lot going on there. Over in the European Union, drug regulators have ruled that Johnson & Johnson's single-shot COVID vaccine is safe, but say the jab should come with a warning about the potential for blood clots upon its administration. Okay, so yes, it's safe, but could kill you. Just a little consumer warning there. Bill Gates, in a recent interview, said that lockdowns are required to sell vaccines. In other words, you lock the people down and then tell them if they buy the vaccines, they can get out of the lockdown. Then you have up in Oregon where they're making lockdowns and masks perpetual, permanent, even if you are vaccinated. Vaccinated. Getting on back to Arizona, Governor Doug Ducey says the state's progress in the immunization campaign means the nearly year-long school mask mandate can be repealed and there is no need for people to present proof of vaccination. So some states are trying desperately to open up. Meanwhile, the vaccine industrial complex is maintaining the fear porn and trying to get you to spend more money on masks, on shots, and so forth. And there's a big stink coming on up. Apparently, there was a company that was given a $1.3 billion, with a B, dollar contract to manufacture syringes for the vaccine program. They have yet to deliver any of the syringes at all. The money is just gone. Over in Italy, there's the family of a woman whose death has been linked to the AstraZeneca jab. They are filing legal action because in Italy, vaccine companies do not have a legal shield against being sued. Here, it's a uniquely American thing that vaccine companies cannot be sued if their vaccines cause harm. But in other countries around the world, they are liable for the damage their products will cause, and I certainly hope these people win their lawsuit. Another story, this one coming out of childrenshealthdefense.org, that's Robert Kennedy Jr.'s organization. A healthy 33-year-old woman in Bethel Park, Pennsylvania, who is preferring to remain anonymous because she doesn't want to get harassed, became paralyzed 12 hours after the Pfizer vaccine. Okay, we got to take a break for commercials, and we'll be back after these.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen planned to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
As a listener of RBN, you're surely concerned about being informed and being ready for whatever may come. Please consider the following questionnaire as a soul-jarring wake-up call. If you answer no to more than two of these following questions, you probably aren't going to make it through any major disruption in our country. The questions were compiled by people that have been there. Are you really ready? Do you own your own firearm for the primary defense and protection of you and your loved ones? Have you ever been professionally trained to stand against life-threatening behavior? Have you ever practiced enough to fire 500 rounds during a 2 to 4 day time frame, day and night? Can you load, unload, fire, and clear a jam in total darkness? Have all the adults in your household been professionally trained? Are you, life and death, comfortable with your abilities with pistol, revolver, shotgun, and rifle? Are you aware that everything that you do to prepare for an emergency is a waste of time, money, and energy? If you haven't honed your abilities to their highest level to protect and keep what you have, do you have the repair parts that will most likely be needed for each of your firearm? And do you have the ability to install those parts? Could you completely clean every firearm you own? Are you aware that your body won't go where your mind hasn't been? In other words, without proper training, followed by regular practice, you probably will not win a gunfight. Well, how did you measure up? Take the once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to start correcting your deficiencies by receiving your Commander Lifetime Membership with Front Sight Firearms Training Facility. A one-time donation to RBN for $500 will give you a Commander Lifetime Membership at Front Sight as a tremendously huge thank you bonus. See details on RBN's webpage to make it happen. The clock is ticking. You had better be ready before it happens.
What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
Welcome back to our show. Here we're talking about COVID-19, and there's an interesting article that came out of Global Research up in Canada saying that the legitimacy of the World Health Organization as a gold standard of health is dubious. And they're basically talking about how the World Health Organization is trading on its reputation and its influence with the world's national governments. But it, like the CDC, is subject to pressure from the industry and politicians. The World Health Organization will hold dominance. But again, we shouldn't just blindly trust everything that they say. Story coming on out of Global Research in Canada again here. Scientists are warning that we are on the verge of being caught up in a vaccine treadmill because vaccine makers are gearing up for COVID booster shots. And we've been hearing this from the pharmaceutical companies already, that the single shot isn't going to last forever, the double shots aren't going to last forever, that you're going to need a yearly COVID shot, the same as you need a yearly flu shot. And my goodness, there's money just pouring on in. And they're out there trying to get celebrities to say the vaccines are good. And the control room just, Steve Elkins just told me Biden is saying it's your patriotic duty to take the COVID jab. And apparently, if you don't get a needle stuck in your arm, you're a traitor to the country or some such nonsense like that. Dr. Peter McCullough is out with a video underscoring something that we talked about months ago. All of the energy of development went into vaccine production, and any talk of actual treatments or cures was sidelined because it's a bad business model. If you only treat the people who are actually sick, that's a far smaller segment of the population. And, you know, as opposed to like getting everybody to take a vaccine, that's a much larger marketplace and much more money going, you know, forward into the future. And now they're talking about repeated shots. So Dr. McCullough did a video where he appeared before the Senate Committee on Health and Human Services, and he talked about how information on COVID-19 treatments and cures was being just blocked because it's not profitable. All right. Okay, going towards the international news now. Over in China, Chinese President Xi Jinping has called for global cooperation in the face of a growing anti-China front led by the United States, warning that an open world economy is essential to recovering from the pandemic. And by the way, I don't know if you spotted this or not, the corporate media has already renamed COVID to the CCP virus to reinforce the idea that this was somehow something that China did to us. Ooh, those evil, evil Chinese people, you know. So Xi Jinping said yesterday, attempts to erect walls or decouple run counter to the laws of economics and market principles. And he said, we must not let the rules set by one or a few countries be imposed on others or allow unilateralism pursued by certain countries to set the pace for the whole world. In other words, don't be a bully. Over in the Black Sea, Ukraine area, things are getting very, very tense. This is a scary story. It's coming out of True News. And Edward Zoll is basically discussing the possibility that NATO warships will challenge Russia's Black Sea blockade. And he is saying that British and U.S. warships plan to attempt to re-enter the Black Sea to test the resolve of Vladimir Putin. We're edging closer and closer to a shooting war, and all it's going to take is one submarine in there to torpedo one ship or the other, and the war will be on. Meanwhile, Russia is restricting flights over the Black Sea and Crimea as tensions continue to mount. And there's Interfax said the area has been declared temporarily dangerous for aircraft flights. Kremlin spokesman Dmitry Peskov called the flight restrictions an absolute normal world practice in a press briefing on the same day. But of course, the region is fraught with military tensions. Another story ramping up the propaganda. This is from Daily Mail, and they're talking about how there is an airstrip just 100 miles from the Ukrainian border where satellites are showing 15 Russian supersonic strike jets, as they put it, awaiting Putin's orders. And yeah, there's no question. Both sides are sending in weapons into that area to get ready for the party to begin. Meanwhile, Moscow is calling on Kiev and NATO to refrain from actions that could lead to further escalation in the Donbass. Moscow currently has no plans. Oh, my goodness. Ran out of time again here. All right. We're going to take another break for commercials. We'll pick up on the story. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. We have a special promotion going on at Republic Broadcasting. This is a fundraiser for Republic Broadcasting involving the energy planner. Mail me a postcard. My address is at my website at thelibertyman.com. We pick a postcard every other Thursday. When your postcard is drawn out, you get to buy an energy planner for $215 instead of $285, $70 discount. $200 goes to Republic Broadcasting. You also get a 10% discount on my mattress pads. So get those postcards in, put your name, your telephone number, your email address on there, and when your postcard is drawn, you get to get an energy cleaner for $215 instead of $285. Mattress pads, 10% off. Help us out at Republic Broadcasting and help yourself to get an energy cleaner at a deep discount. It's a win-win situation for everybody. We hope you can get these postcards in soon. Thank you very much.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from simplycleanfoods.net, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters. Right now, Amazon Prime members will receive fast two-day shipping. Go to simplycleanfoods.net. That's simplycleanfoods.net. But do it today.
We the people, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty.
Welcome back to our show here. We're talking about the international news here, and we're talking about an article that came out of Sputnik News where Moscow is calling on Kiev and NATO to refrain from actions that could lead to further escalation in Donbass. Now, Russian Defense Minister Sergei Shoigu said that Ukraine's military and political leadership keeps trying to destabilize the situation in Donbass, while the United States and NATO continue their provocations in the Black Sea and its airspace. So, all righty. Now, interestingly enough, Ukraine's President Zelensky has invited Putin to a meeting in the Donbass region for talks on ending the conflict there and easing tensions between the two states. Now, this may be Zelensky just trying to look like he's the good guy, because remember, the propaganda is always to start a war by making it look like it's the other guy's fault, even if it involves deceptions like the Lusitania, or goading Japan into the attack on Pearl Harbor, or torpedoes in the Gulf of Tonkin, so forth and so on. And I'm not sure Putin will agree to that, because it certainly presents a high risk to him. If you go back and you look at that Malaysian airliner that was shot down, some people think that they were trying to shoot down Putin's presidential plane, which was in the same area at the same time over Ukraine. So I don't know if Putin is going to go for that here. There are reports coming out of Belarus that there was an attempted assassination of President Lukashenko. And Belarus is saying that the assassination was being sponsored, or at least encouraged, by the United States, that the United States actually backed the plot to assassinate Lukashenko. And not surprisingly, we're seeing zero coverage of this in the American corporate media. Story coming on out of Global Research again. The Pentagon is adding Africa to the global battleground with China and Russia. Now, General Stephen Townsend, who's the commander of AFRICOM, and General Kenneth McKenzie, commander of CENTCOM, are scheduled to testify before the Senate Armed Services Committee on the 22nd, which is tomorrow. The testimony, both open and closed, will address the proposed 2022 National Defense Authorization Act, which is reported to include a total of $753 billion, with a B, for Pentagon operations around the world. The last time AFRICOM's Townsend addressed the committee was in January of last year, when he spoke in depth of his commands and more broadly the U.S.'s overall strategy toward Africa. So, have you noticed how close the term AFRICOM and Africa Corps are? A lot of people have noticed that one. Over in Iran, President Hassan Rouhani is starting to speak rather positively about the indirect talks with the U.S. that are taking place in Vienna, aimed at reviving the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action. And he said a deal is possible. It could be reached in a very short time. He's saying that between 60 and 70% of the issues have been resolved. And that is a very, very positive thing. The United States actually issued a warning to Israel to stop trying to disrupt the negotiations with their ongoing attacks into Iran. And we have this other article, this is from antiwar.com, that Israel is backing down on some of their demands for the Iran nuclear deal. And according to Israeli TV, Israeli officials have accepted there will be no significant changes to the Iran nuclear deal. So they're narrowing their demands on Washington, D.C. It looks like the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action, if it goes back into effect, will revert to its original form and there will be no new conditions. Now, my comment on that is this. Israel was never a part of the original Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action. So why are they in a position to make any demands at all about its renewal? Now, the media has been making a big deal over the fact that Iran, in response to the attack on Natanz, announced they're enriching uranium to 60%, and they're saying, oh, my goodness, they're going for a bomb, they're going for a bomb. The reality is a little bit different. 60% enrichment is still a long way away from the 90% plus enrichment needed for an actual explosive atomic bomb. And as it turns out, Iran is actually enriching a very tiny amount of uranium to 60% as a proof of concept. They want to prove they can do it. They're not doing it on a large scale, at least not yet. Turning over to Afghanistan and the continuing debate about whether the United States should get out of there or not, and I don't think the U.S. should have gone in there to begin with, the U.S. government has spent over $2.26 trillion, with a T, of your dollars on this failed war in Afghanistan. This is the latest numbers from Brown University's Costs of War Project. And the report also estimates the war has directly killed 241,000 people in Afghanistan and Pakistan. And the $2.26 trillion was broken down in five categories. The single largest expense was $933 billion, which was covered by the Defense Department's Overseas Contingency Operations Budget. The second highest cost is the estimated interest accrued by borrowing money for the war, which amounts to $530 billion. So they're fighting these wars on the credit card again, and you will get stuck with those payments. The Pentagon's base budget saw increases over the years for the war in Afghanistan that accounts for the third highest expense at $443 billion. Care for veterans of the war comes in fourth at $296 billion, a number that will continue to rise for decades to come. So the State Department's budget for Afghanistan comes in fifth at $59 billion. Getting on back to the chief of CENTCOM, General Frank McKenzie, is saying it will be harder to bomb Afghanistan after the troop withdrawal, but it will not be impossible. And they're already making noises about if terrorism starts back up, we will have to do something. And the Biden White House is now acknowledging that although the regular U.S. forces will be leaving Afghanistan, we are told, that in point of fact, at least 1,000 contractors, meaning mercenaries, will remain behind for various U.S. covert action. Over in Saudi Arabia, Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman reportedly backed an Israeli scheme to overthrow the king of Jordan, Abdullah II, in exchange for the guardianship of the Al-Aqsa Mosque in the occupied old city of Jerusalem, Al-Quds. Lebanon's Al-Akhbar newspaper, quoting a Jordanian security official, said in a report yesterday, the coup attempts against King Abdullah II was a scheme involving Israel, the United Arab Emirates, Saudi Arabia, and the United States. All right. Down in Yemen, the Yemeni army has carried out a successful drone attack against a military site within the Aba International Airport in southwestern Saudi Arabia, keeping up the impoverished country's retaliation against the Riyadh-led U.S.-supported war. And this was a reprisal against a terminal that lies in the kingdom's Asir region. It took place yesterday using one of the Yemeni Armed Forces indigenously manufactured Qasef-2K UAVs. And Army spokesman Brigadier General Yahi Sari said the hit was accurate. This targeting comes in response to the escalation of aggression and the ongoing siege of Yemen. Over in Myanmar, the violence is continuing then. Myanmar's military junta basically celebrated Armed Forces Day, a holiday marking the beginning of Myanmar's revolt against the Japanese occupation during World War II. The celebration came with a parade, a speech by coup leader General Min Aung Hlaing, and a lavish dinner party. Meanwhile, across the country, soldiers and police shot largely defenseless anti-coup protesters and bystanders, including children, killing 100 people in the country's deadliest day since the military's February 1st takeover. Now, what is not being remembered, what is not being said, is what caused all of this. And that is that Myanmar's last election was marked by impressive, amazing amounts of fraud. And that's why the military moved on in and said, we're going to pacify the situation. Then we're going to hold honest elections. And I'm not surprised the American corporate media fails to mention the election fraud that precipitated this crisis, because they don't want you American serfs to get uppity ideas. Apparently, Israel had a little bit of a whoopsie at one of their missile factories. There was a huge explosion. Israel says it occurred during a routine test by the Tomer Factory for Advanced Weapons, and it houses satellite launchers, various types of missiles. The explosion was heard and seen for quite a distance. A lot of people got it recorded on their cell phone cameras. Now, here's an interesting development. Last week, we were talking about how the Israeli politicians were moving to have a direct election of the prime minister to sort of get away from the fact that no political party was able to secure a majority in the now four elections that they have held in rapid succession. And now it turns out that Arab members of the Knesset have helped an anti-Bibi Netanyahu bloc win control of the Knesset. And they're saying this could lead to Netanyahu losing the prime minister's office, at which point he is going to be facing massive political corruption charges, and he could wind up in jail. Good place for him, I think. The Israeli army, on the other hand, has started military exercises along the border with Jordan. And the ministry's crossing authority said the training would take place at the Jordan Valley crossing. The training will require the closure of Route 90 intermittently, and gunfire and explosions will be heard in the area. Defense Minister Benny Gantz yesterday warned Lebanon's Hezbollah group it will suffer heavy consequences if it acts against Israel. Well, that's a kind of an ongoing warning that we're hearing all the time. So touring the IDF's Northern Command with senior commanders, Gantz said the Israeli Defense Forces are ideally prepared along the northern border and definitely on the Lebanese front. Now, I think it was just yesterday we reported that Hezbollah is preparing for the potential collapse of Lebanon's civil government, which is dealing with corruption and economic hardship, and nature abhors a vacuum, and Hezbollah could wind up being the government of Lebanon. And let's see, Israeli forces again demolished a Palestinian Bedouin village in the southern Negev region. It's Al-Arakib village. This is 186 times they have demolished this village. And you certainly have to admire the tenacity of those Bedouins. Meanwhile, here in the United States, pro-Israel U.S. lawmakers have proposed a bill that would provide $30 million over 5 years to companies that partner with their counterparts in Israel. They're trying to strengthen U.S. ties with Israel, and the move is an effort to facilitate joint cybersecurity partnership programs between the United States and Israel. The problem with that is every time Israel has partnered with an American company, for example, like Intel, the technology seems to bleed one way from the U.S. to Israel and is then sold to countries we don't like and sold back to us. Now, Strategic Command, or STRATCOM, is the unit in charge of the U.S. nuclear arsenal, air defense, and the space forces. And in the event of a nuclear war, Strategic Command would be tasked with executing the launch of U.S. nuclear missiles against the enemy. And STRATCOM basically just came out with a document called the Posture Review Preview, describing nuclear war as being the least bad option. So they're out there saying, well, you know, a nuclear war may not be a bad idea. And I know that there was a move in Congress to pass a bill saying that the United States would never be the first to use nuclear weapons. Given that the United States is the only country to use nuclear weapons against the civilians of another country, I don't think that's going to go very far. Story coming on out of military.com. The Biden administration has asked the U.S. Supreme Court to reject a petition calling for the men-only draft registration to be declared unconstitutional and let Congress decide the future of the Selective Service System. They're going on back to this idea of drafting women into combat roles. And what's really kind of unnerving about this article is they talk about the military draft as if it's a given eventuality, that it is going to happen one way or the other. The only question is whether women will be drafted right alongside the men. And I think that's probably going to upset a lot of people when the draft comes on back. Okay, economic news now. A little bit of good news, bad news. The good news is manufacturing is expanding at the fastest pace in 50 years. The bad news is it's driving up commodity prices. Somebody wrote me the other day talking about the Baltic Dry Index taking a major upward swing despite the blockage at the Suez Canal. So it does look like manufacturing is cranking up again. The big question is, what are they manufacturing? Appliances, cars, hospital supplies, or are they manufacturing warplanes, bombs, and bullets, and various things like that? All right, we're going to take a break for commercials. We'll be back with more news after these few words.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Please view, like, and subscribe to our YouTube channel, Stop Terrorism. Please contact us if you or anyone you know who wants to be on our show at thetruthpharmacy@gmail.com. Keep it real. Take the red pill.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Politicians and preachers once sometimes told the truth. We didn't throw war's first stone and sacrifice our finest youth. With no video games or cell phones, a house felt like a home. Children fought and played together instead of on a computer alone.
Welcome back to our show here. We're talking about the economic news, and The Bureau of Labor Statistics has come out with a rather troubling piece of information. Unemployment is much higher in big cities than the national average. And it's maybe due to automation, it may be due to the COVID layoffs here. But the message here is that U.S. unemployment trends are very location specific, something that the national data fails to capture. So the news will say we have a national unemployment rate of such and such percent, and yet where you live in a heavily urbanized area, it could be a lot worse. And of course, you've got all these illegal immigrants heading on up there to make the situation even more dire. Story coming on out of Breitbart. U.S. District Court Judge David O. Carter has issued a preliminary injunction yesterday ordering the city and county of Los Angeles to ensure that every homeless person living in Skid Row has some form of housing by October 18th of this year. And it's, of course, going to cost quite a bit of money. Judge Carter granted the preliminary injunction sought by the plaintiffs in the case last week. And they're telling the city and county they must find single women and unaccompanied children on Skid Row a place to stay within 90 days, followed by helping families within 120 days, and finally by October 18th, offering every remaining homeless person on Skid Row housing or shelter of some kind. Now, Los Angeles has already lost its parks, beaches, schools, sidewalks, and highway systems due to the inaction of city and county officials who have left the homeless citizens with no other place to turn. Somebody sent me a video shot of Venice Beach in Southern California, and it, you know, it's just full of homeless tents and all kinds of problems. And it's a little bit heartbreaking because many, many, many years ago, back during the last great ice age, the very first feature film I ever worked on was called Skate Town USA, and a significant part of it was shot on Venice Beach. And back then, that was a cool place to be. That's why we filmed it there. And you know, the roller disco skaters were out there, and it was a lot of fun. And to see how it is today, it's just heartbreaking. It's absolutely heartbreaking. All right, a story coming on out of Zero Hedge. Farmers are sounding the warning that the mega drought in the western U.S. threatens to cause devastating crop failures this year. Now, a big part of the problem is that there is this huge irrigation system, this waterworks that was set up decades ago, and it has been allowed to basically decay and crack, and huge amounts of water are leaking into the soil where it's not needed, to the point where the system only delivers about one-third of the water it originally did. And that is one of the reasons it's going back to being a desert. And we need that food. Okay, we got to take a break for station identification. We're going to open the phone lines, area code 512-248-8252, and we'll be right back.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.